Okay, so let's unpack this. Picture the scene for a second. You are in Lusaka, maybe you're squeezed into the back of a minibus, or you're just scrolling through TikTok on your lunch break.
Yeah, just going about your normal day.
Exactly. And suddenly you notice everyone, and I really mean everyone, is doing this this specific hand gesture.
Right, rubbing their thumb and index finger together.
Like they are handling invisible gold dust or something.
Or counting money, which is usually what that means.
Yeah, but along with that gesture, there's this phrase that just sort of appeared out of nowhere and is now absolutely everywhere. Saltsana.
Saltsana.
Right. Now, if you take that literally, saltsan just means, well, a lot of salt.
Which sounds like a dietary warning.
Exactly. It sounds like we were talking about a ruined soup.
Yep.
But as we look at the source material today, specifically this really fascinating deep dive from the Zambian food magazine combined with some recent music industry analysis, it becomes clear that we are talking about so much more than just sodium chloride.
We really are. We're talking about music, we're talking about street culture, and surprisingly, we are talking about some pretty heavy culinary science.
It is this intersection of pop culture and chemistry that I honestly did not see coming. So here is the mission for our deep dive today.
I'm ready.
We are going to figure out how a track by Wyse Celeb and Afunika turned a basic kitchen ingredient into the ultimate metaphor for excellence.
And we're going to look at why Saltsana became the go-to slang for extra energy.
Yes, and we're actually going to get into the biology, literally the molecular biology of why salt makes things hit different.
Which is really the key to understanding the slang in the first place.
Yeah.
You can't fully grasp the cultural moment without understanding the physical reaction on your tongue.
I love that. So let's start at ground zero here. Where does this actually start? Because this feels like it happened so fast.
Oh, it happened incredibly fast.
One day nobody's saying it, and the next day it's on t-shirts.
It started with a track released in early 2025 called, appropriately enough, Saltsana.
And this was Wyse Celeb, right?
By Celeb, yeah, featuring Afunika. It was on the Most Wanted album. Now, for those who don't follow the Zambian music scene super closely, this is a really fascinating pairing.
Oh, totally. Wyse Celeb brings this high energy.
Almost aggressive street vibe.
Right. And then you have Afunika.
The Eye of Nigel.
Exactly. He has that unmistakable voice. Very melodic, very commanding. So they dropped this track. And according to our sources, this wasn't a slow burn at all. The phrase escaped the music almost immediately.
I love that image, Escape the Music, like it broke out of the speakers and just started walking down the street.
It really did. Within months, it wasn't just a lyric anymore. It was dominating combi conversations from Lusaka all the way to the Copper Belt.
It was all over social media timelines.
And it wasn't just the fans picking it up. Other artists jumped on the wave right away.
Yeah, I saw in the notes that Mizzy C dropped a track called Acapondo with Saltsana in parentheses.
Correct. And then Kizman and Top Kid followed suit with similar themes. It became this pervasive theme in the Zambian music scene practically overnight.
Which is actually quite rare. To see an entire industry align around a single slang term so quickly, it suggests there was a gap in the language.
Like people needed a word for this specific feeling.
Exactly. So for someone who hasn't been scrolling through Zambian TikTok or riding a minibus in Lusaka recently, what does Saltsana actually mean in this context?
Right, because if I tell a chef saltsana, they might think I'm complaining about the food.
But on the street, it's a good thing.
It is definitely a good thing. In Zambian street parlance, saltsana has come to mean something that is too much in the best possible way.
Too much in the best possible way. I really like that definition. It's very nuanced.
It is. It's shorthand for something outstanding or top-notch. It refers to a quality that makes the ordinary unforgettable.
Or, to use the phrasing for the source material, is what makes a situation hit different.
Yes. If a party is boring and suddenly the DJ drops a banger and the energy completely
That
shifts.
shift is Saltsana.
Exactly. And there's that visual component we mentioned earlier, right? It's not just something you say.
That's right, the hand gesture. You rub your fingers together, just like you are pinching salt and sprinkling it into your palm.
That is so specific. It implies a direct action.
You aren't just observing the vibe, you are actively seasoning the vibe.
Exactly. And it's interesting because usually when we say someone is salty, at least in American slang, it means they're bitter or angry.
Right, it has a negative connotation.
But here it's the complete opposite. It's about excellence, it's about elevation.
And that is exactly where the science comes in. Because if you look at what salt actually does to food, this Zambian metaphor is scientifically much more accurate than the American version.
Oh, absolutely. The metaphor is chemically sound.
Okay, take us to school here. Why is salt the perfect metaphor for this top-notch energy? Because I feel like most of us take salt for granted. It's just the white stuff sitting on the table.
Well, let's pivot to the physical reality of salt. The Zambian Food Magazine article makes a really important point about this. Salt is the oldest and most universal seasoning on Earth. But to a food scientist, it isn't just a spice, it's a catalyst.
A catalyst? Like in a chemical reaction?
Yes. Food scientists call this mechanism flavor potentiation.
Flavor potentiation. That sounds like a superpower.
It basically is a superpower. See, salt doesn't just add a salty taste to things. In fact, if you are tasting the salt distinctly in a dish, you've probably done it wrong.
Interesting. So what is it actually doing?
What salt actually does is manipulate your tongue and your nose.
Manipulate them how?
Two main ways. First, it suppresses bitterness. Sodium ions physically interfere with the bitterness receptors on your tongue.
Wait, so it literally blocks the signal to your brain?
It blocks the signal. Think about cheap coffee. Some people put a tiny pinch of salt in bad coffee.
Oh, I've seen people do that.
Yeah, it doesn't make the coffee salty. It makes it taste less burnt. By knocking down that bitterness, the sweetness, which was always there but hidden, suddenly pushes through.
That is wild. So it's not adding sugar at all. It's just removing the barrier to the sweetness.
Precisely. And then there is the second thing it does. It opens up aromatic compounds.
Aromatic compounds.
Yes. Salt helps release volatile molecules so your nose can process them better.
And since about 80% of what we call flavor is actually smell.
Right. Retronasal olfaction.
Exactly. So this is huge.
The article uses a great example to illustrate this. Think about a tomato.
Okay. I'm picturing a tomato.
A raw tomato without any salt. It's acidic, maybe a little grassy, kind of flat. It's fine. It's a vegetable.
It's just salad.
But if you add just a pinch of salt to that slice and wait 10 seconds, physics happens.
Physics happens.
The salt draws out the moisture, it concentrates the sugars, and it suppresses those bitter skin notes.
And suddenly it becomes rounder.
Exactly. It tastes sweeter. It tastes, as the author puts it, more like itself.
More like itself. That is really profound for a slice of tomato.
It's the paradox of salt. Salt doesn't add a new flavor so much as it unlocks the flavors that were always waiting there.
Right. When it's done perfectly, you don't taste the salt. You just taste everything else much more clearly.
That is fascinating. So bringing it back to the slang, when you call someone salt sauna or say a track is salt sauna, you aren't saying it's overpowering.
No, not at all. You're saying it is unlocking the potential that was already in the room.
It's the catalyst that turns potential into actual.
Precisely.
But before we get too deep into the philosophy of human potential, we have to look at the culinary context this sprang from. Because this slang didn't rise out of a vacuum.
Right. It came out of Zambia.
And you cannot talk about Zambian culture without talking about the food.
The source material talks a lot about Zambian staples, specifically anchima.
You definitely cannot talk about Zambian food without talking about chimchima.
You really can't. For any listeners who haven't had the pleasure, anchima is a thick porridge made from maize meal. It is essentially the carbohydrate engine of the entire country.
But anchima on its own?
It's a blank canvas.
A completely neutral canvas. It generally isn't salted during the cooking process, so it needs a partner.
It needs a rich, well-salted relish.
The article mentions some specific examples. Village chicken and groundnut sauce, or kapenta fried crisp at the edges, or just a simple, beautiful plate of chibwabwa.
You're making me hungry right now. But the main point here is that the relish has to do the heavy lifting.
Exactly. Because the anchima is neutral, the relish must be bold. If you underseason the relish, the anchima just swallows the flavor whole.
The author makes this brilliant point that you can have the best cooking technique in the world. You can simmer your beans for 3 hours with onion, garlic, and heirloom tomatoes.
But if you forget the salt,
it stays muted.
Like a song recorded at half volume.
That is the exact quote. Like a song recorded at half volume.
I love that line. It connects the food right back to the music so perfectly.
It captures that specific disappointment perfectly. And this is really a universal truth in cooking.
Whether it's West African jollof or an Italian grandmother salting pasta water until it tastes like the sea.
Or a Thai street vendor balancing fish sauce against fresh lime juice. Salt isn't a luxury. It's a necessity. Food without it just hasn't arrived yet.
It hasn't arrived yet. So why Celeb and Afunika? They really tapped into something primal here.
They tapped into this deeply instinctive understanding of value. Everyone knows the difference between a meal that's been salted properly and one that hasn't.
It's the difference between merely eating and actually dining.
Between surviving and enjoying.
So let's bridge this back to the music and the slang for a minute.
Mm.
If salt creates flavor potentiation in food, what does a salt sansana person do in a social setting?
That's a great question. Because I think we've all met people who think they are the salt, but they're actually just...
loud.
Yes, just loud.
Yeah.
Well, if we follow the metaphor strictly, a salt sansana personality is not the one screaming for attention in the middle of the room.
Right. Remember, salt dissolves. It disappears into the dish.
So it's subtle?
It can be. A salt sansana personality is that specific energy that makes a gathering feel alive. It turns background noise into an anthem.
It suppresses the social bitterness, the awkwardness, the tension, and it lifts the sweetness of the human connection.
I really love that. Turns background noise into an anthem.
And here's where it gets really interesting to me conceptually. The expert in the article analyzes the generosity of the element.
The generosity?
Think about it. Salt doesn't seek attention. It doesn't try to compete with the main ingredient. It's not like cumin or turmeric that turns everything bright yellow or dominates the entire palate.
Right. It's not trying to be the star. It wants the chicken to be the star.
Exactly. It elevates the star.
Mm.
The best energy in a room, just like the best seasoning in a pot, brings out what is already good and makes it impossible to ignore.
That is actually a really beautiful way to look at it. It's not about having a big ego. It's about being the person who makes everyone else funnier or makes the party more lively just by being present.
It reveals how Zambians are currently thinking about value. Salt sana is that presence that makes the ordinary unforgettable. It's just the right amount of too much.
The right amount of too much. I feel like that's a very fine line to walk, though.
It is a very fine line, and the article actually addresses this directly. Because we do have to talk about the nuance here.
We are talking about salt sauna as a cultural metaphor, but in the kitchen, there is definitely such a thing as literal too much salt.
Yeah, we should probably mention the health aspect before people start pouring the whole shaker onto their dinner, thinking they're being salt sauna.
Definitely. We have to be responsible here. The World Health Organization recommends less than 5 grams per day.
That is just under a teaspoon.
And we know the risks of going over that cardiovascular strain, high blood pressure. Excess is real, and it is dangerous.
So the metaphor isn't drown everything in salt. It's not about reckless excess.
No. And this is where the culinary concept of calibration comes into play. The article talks about finding the point of deliciousness.
The point of deliciousness. Is that a technical culinary term?
It actually is. It's a term professional chefs use to describe a very specific threshold. It's seasoning a dish to the precise moment just before the salt becomes identifiable as distinct flavor.
Oh, wow. So taking it right up to the edge.
Exactly. You want to wake the dish up without overwhelming it. You want to find that invisible line where enough becomes too much, and you stop exactly 1 grain before that.
That sounds like an incredible skill.
It is described as one of the oldest and most important skills in cooking. All the expensive ingredients, all the time you spend at the stove, it all relies entirely on this final act of attention.
If you stop too short, it's bland.
And if you go too far, it's ruin.
So applying that back to the slang being salt sanna isn't about being obnoxious.
Not at all.
It's not about being so loud that you ruin the vibe. It's about that perfect calibration, being just extra enough to make the moment pop.
Precisely. It's about impact, not just volume. It's about resonance. Mm-hmm. It's knowing exactly how much energy to bring to the room to elevate it without suffocating it.
I think that's why it spread so fast. Like you said, from the music to the streets almost instantly. It crystallized something people already felt, but didn't have a specific word for.
It gave a name to a quality everyone was already chasing, whether it's in music, in company, or in a plate of minchma. It's the difference between something forgettable and something you want again tomorrow.
Do you think the artists, Y-Celeb, Mizzy C, Kizman, do you think they realized they were tapping into this deep philosophical vein? Or were they just trying to make a hit track?
You know, artists are often the antennas of society. They pick up on signals before the rest of us can articulate them. I don't know if Mizzy C was actively thinking about sodium ions and volatile aromatic compounds.
Totally not.
But I think he felt that the culture was hungry for intensity. We go through phases where things feel flat, maybe economically or socially.
And then a phrase comes along that gives people permission to be bold again. To be colorful, to add flavor back into their lives.
It's a permission slip to be excellent.
That is a great way to put it. A permission slip.
You know, it really makes you think about your own impact on the people around you. Like when you walk into a room, are you adding flavor or are you just water.
Or worse, are you the bitterness that needs suppressing?
Let's hope not. But seriously, looking at how this trend moved, I wonder if we'll see this phrase go international. Like, will I hear this in New York or London next year?
Given how connected the Zambian diaspora is and how fast things move on TikTok, I honestly wouldn't be surprised. But even if the specific words don't travel, the principle is universal.
True. Flavor potentiation is everywhere.
And the desire for that extra energy is everywhere. Everyone wants to feel that the moment they are in is the salt sauna version of that moment.
So what does this all mean for us today? I think the takeaway from this deep dive is surprisingly practical. We started with slang, but we kind of ended up with a life lesson.
It is surprisingly practical. It's all about awareness.
Right.
Whether you are cooking dinner tonight or heading into a meeting tomorrow morning.
Yes. The article ends with a really nice thought that I want to share with everyone.
Please do.
It says, next time you are standing at the stove, pinching salt between your fingers, consider that you are participating in the same principle that is soundtracking minibuses across Zambia.
You're adding the thing that makes everything else make sense.
That's the core of it right there. You are the catalyst.
And remember the calibration we talked about.
Yeah.
It's not just about adding more. It's about adding the right amount.
So here is my challenge to you listening right now. Think about your own seasoning. Are you the salt in your circle? Are you bringing that energy that suppresses the bitterness and lifts the sweetness?
And are you paying attention? Are you finding that point of deliciousness in your own interactions?
That's the real question. Are you just the right amount of too much?
That is a very provocative thought to leave them with.
Indeed. Go out there and be salt sauna, everyone. Make it hit different.